Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is Authentic Conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And today we're going to talk about beliefs to build a dream on. Our last session, we took a pause in this theme around helping and equipping you to dream again. It's the best thing we can do in the middle of the craziness that's going on, is actually realign, reset, refocus, recalibrate, and align to move forward. But last session, we just took a pause, and I just went behind the scenes of just walking you through how making decisions in the now. It's not easy, it's tough, it's difficult. So jump back and listen to that, but I'm going to carry on this theme of dreaming and just how important it is. I was just processing the other day as a department, as a team. I lead Heaven and Business, and one of the things we've done in the last 3 months is 50% of our 6,000 square foot office area we have rented out or sub-rented because we're just not using it. We don't have in-person events right now. So I'm like, God, what's going on? I feel like I'm shrinking back. And I hear him really, really clearly speak to me from the book of Joshua, don't shrink back, don't hold back, don't draw back, lead. And I'm like, God, this does not make sense. It feels like I'm shrinking back. And I just sensed he said, no, you're pruning. It's pruning, you're pruning. And I'm like, well, it feels awfully like shrinking back. What's the difference? And the one word that came to mind was intentional, being intentional. Shrinking back, drawing back, hiding, burying yourself right now, that's reactive. That's what happens to you. But if you're going through what you're going through, which we all are, and you stop and pause, realign with why you are here, what you're doing, what you're focused on, aligning with your vision, and you make intentional steps, that's pruning. That's not shrinking back. You're making intentional decisions to position yourself for the future. So that's just a quick aside bonus. But now let's jump into, this is chapter 5 of the book Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life, that my wife Janine and I wrote in 2011. And it's just so much for now. You can skip back some episodes and listen to these chapter by chapter, do the activations, but this is foundational beliefs to build a dream on. It's one thing to dream or to have a dream. It's another thing to turn that dream into reality. Turning a dream from an idea into reality takes a lot of courage, as well as intentionally making daily choices that create forward momentum. In the construction industry, one of the first steps in turning a building plan into an actual building is to establish a solid foundation. Without a solid foundation, the first storm will send the building crashing to the ground. In order to establish a life of living your dreams, it is important to first check your foundation. What are the beliefs or core values that are necessary to live a life of dreams being fulfilled? We believe the following foundational beliefs are necessary in order to build a life of consistently fulfilling dreams. We have turned these beliefs into core values that we must live out, where other people also see these things happening in our lives. We encourage you to examine your own beliefs and to invite the Holy Spirit to lead you into a place of encountering more of Him, so that in turn more of heaven can be experienced around you. 1. God is good all the time. Our foundational core value is God is good, period. His goodness is continually expressed to us. Take a moment to think on that truth. Right now, how is God's goodness being expressed to you personally? When was the last time you stopped to even think about how good He is to you? Take a few minutes to really stop and think about how He is pouring out His goodness to you in this current season of your life. How aware are you of God's goodness, especially as it pertains to you? At the time of writing this part of the book, it's fall in Reading, and the colors are particularly glorious. Each day as I drive our children to school and see the early morning light filter through the trees, I am grateful to the Lord for His expression of His nature. My children are getting used to hearing me say, "The color of the trees right now just makes me happy." I choose to focus on the goodness of the Lord expressed to me in this season through nature. I experience a childlike delight in the different colors of the leaves and in the crispness of the air as I walk in the mornings. I choose to believe that the brilliant red sunrises and sunsets are painted just for me by a daddy who knows that I love bright colors. And in a way, they are just painted for me, because I know he loves me enough to paint them just for my eyes, even if I were the only one to see them. The world around us speaks of God's extravagance. There are myriads of flowers and plants created that process carbon dioxide or provide food for animals. Yet that function is secondary to the beauty they bring to the planet. I'm amazed at the diversity of God's creation and convinced that he did it with us in mind, just for us to enjoy the beauty of the colorful flowers. And it's extravagant. Not wasteful, but extravagant. It reminds me that his heart is always to bless me, to give me more than just what is needed, to give abundantly. It demonstrates a part of his nature that infiltrates every part of who he is, that he is good. Not just a little bit good, but extravagantly good. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. See, 1 John 3:1, emphasis added. He has lavished his love on us. The Collins English Dictionary defines lavish as prolific, abundant, generous, liberal, and extravagant. And the verse above says that this is the measure with which God pours out his love on us. He doesn't give us just enough of his love to survive. He pours it out with the most abundant measure he can find. Jesus did not just provide a way into heaven, but he made a way for us to enter into a life overflowing with his abundance now. God is gooder than you think, so change the way you think. Bill Johnson. He is a loving Father, full of goodness and mercy. He is pouring out his love on you. Are you receiving it? You may not have had a natural father that showed you what this love looks like, but even a great earthly father can only give you a taste of your heavenly Father's goodness, and God wants to show his goodness to you. After we had been married a few years, Andy's parents moved to a different city a few hours' drive from where we lived. Sometimes we would drive over to stay the weekend with them. I can remember being embarrassed by the way that Andy, immediately upon arrival, would go to the refrigerator and help himself to the chocolate cookies that would be there. I felt that it was rude for Andy to help himself to whatever was in the pantry or refrigerator because he no longer lived with his parents. Andy's mum, however, loved it. She loved that he felt comfortable enough with his place in the family to get what he desired. I realized after a few visits that she only had chocolate cookies in the house when we were there and that they had been placed there especially for Andy. God has a refrigerator full of good things for you and me, just ready for us to help ourselves. He has physical and emotional healing for us. He has provision for us. He has love and encouragement waiting there specifically for us. The cupboards of heaven are fully stocked with an abundance of his goodness just for us. The question is, will you come and raid his pantry? Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. This is an invitation for us to respond. When someone offers you a taste of a freshly baked cookie just out of the oven, the natural response is to reach out, take the cookie, and take a bite. It's obvious there needs to be action on your part to receive or experience the goodness of the cookie that has been offered to you. If you don't reach out and take one, put it to your lips and take a bite, you can only imagine how these cookies taste. There is no difference in experiencing the goodness of God. You must, figuratively speaking, reach out your hand, take what is offered, and taste his goodness. Whether or not you do that is largely determined by what you believe about your Father. If you believe your Father is not good or is not good to you, then you will think that the cookies he offers you will taste bad or even poisoned. You will be reluctant to partake of his goodness in case it doesn't turn out to be good at all. But if you're truly aware of his goodness, you will readily respond to his invitation and reach out to receive what he has for you. In fact, once you experience his goodness, you will look for it everywhere and you will find it. You will readily accept the offer of more cookies from your Father's hand as you discover just how good he is. We live in a fallen world, and there are challenges to face every day that come with living in this world. Whether or not I see the goodness of God in my surroundings will be determined by what I choose to set my eyes on. If I set my eyes to look for negative things, I will easily find them. and I can convince myself that God doesn't care. But if I set my eyes to see how he's pouring out his goodness to me today, I will find it in abundance. There is not a day that goes by. There is not something for which we can be grateful. My daddy is a good father who lavishes his love upon me. His love is always directed at me, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, or who I'm with. He is totally for me and wants to pour out blessing on me. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. Psalm 67, 1-2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Genesis 12, 2. These verses talk about God's desire to bless us because he loves us and because he loves those who don't yet know him. His desire is that other people would look at our lives and see the goodness of God so evidenced that they would be drawn to know the God we know. It is by experiencing his kindness and goodness that we are led to repentance. Our lives are intended to be evidence to the world that God is good. We have four children, and like most children, they love sweet treats, and I love to bless them. I love to give them good things and see their faces light up when they get an unexpected gift. However, my role as a parent requires more than just giving them treats. I have the responsibility to do what I can to teach them how to live a healthy lifestyle. So, although I love to bless them, the fact is they must eat a well-balanced diet to have strong bodies, and too much candy is not good for their teeth. To my children, I'm sure there are times when they feel I'm withholding good things from them, like the candy they know is hidden in the cupboard. But as they've grown older and we've taught them about healthy lifestyles, they've come to appreciate that withholding candy is my gift to them in order to protect their health. They know that if I'm saying no to treats, I'm saying yes to health. They have learned that my denying them candy comes from a great love for them and a heart for them to have the best. Psalm 84:11 declares that God withholds no good thing. Our Heavenly Father knows what needs to be included for our greater good. He knows what our bodies, souls, and spirits need in order to thrive. He loves to lavish good gifts on us, but like any wise father, he knows when to hold back in order to give us the greater gift. God is love, so anything that is not found in love is not of God. Sickness, disease, pain, brokenness, war, and all other evil things do not have their origins in God. When Jesus died on the cross for us, he took all the wrath of God for our past, present, and future sin. The result is that through Christ, we can continually experience the goodness of God. The sufferings, hardships, and challenges we face in a world that is groaning for the fullness of the restoration of all things can be transformed within us into good. See Romans 8:28. We may make mistakes, and other people may make mistakes that affect us, but God is always good. The goodness of God endures continually. Psalm 52, 1. He longs to bless your day today and pour his love on you with a lavish measure. Will you reach out to taste and see that the Lord is good? Testimony. A dream to hear God's voice. Charlie, in his late 20s, had been a Christian all his life but had never heard God's voice. This changed following an experience triggered by a dreaming presentation in a business where he worked. As a result, he went home and he and his wife each made a list of 100 dreams. To Charlie's surprise, his wife's number one dream was to have a baby as soon as possible. He thought they had agreed to wait 6 months before getting pregnant. After going back and forth, they decided to pray about it. Charlie's prayer went like this. Well, God, this is a dream of my wife's, but I think we should wait. So if I need to change my mind about it, you need to tell me loud and clear. 2 days later, one of Charlie's co-workers walked up to him and told him he had just had a vision of Charlie and his wife having the exact same conversation that the Lord had said, be fruitful and multiply. This completely altered Charlie's paradigm about how God speaks to us today and launched him on a journey of learning to hear God speak. Now God is giving him information about business deals and where people will call. He even was given a phone number that turned out to be the number of a school with which he wanted to do business. As Charlie said, "Now we're 6 months pregnant, and I've been on a passionate pursuit of God's voice ever since. Dreams are important." 2. I have a purpose. We are significant because we are the children of God. As such, we have tremendous value, completely independent of what we do or don't do. We are of great importance because we are children of the King. We are adopted into God's royal family and have been given access to His presence and all the treasure He has for us. Healing, wholeness, blessing, and peace are all available to us because our Daddy loves us. But the story doesn't end there. He didn't create us so that we can just sit around in His presence. He created us with purpose in mind. Right from the beginning, He gave us the task of being fruitful and multiplying, of filling and subduing the earth. See Genesis 1:28. God placed Adam in a garden and told him to fill the earth. Adam's identity as a son of God was clear. Every day he walked and talked face to face with God in the garden. He worked from relationship, from identity, from significance, and not in order to obtain relationship, identity, or significance. He worked from rest, not for rest. In the same way, we have identity, significance, and intimate relationship with God, and we have a unique purpose on the earth to fulfill. God spoke to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah 1:5. God had a plan for Jeremiah from before he was in the womb, and He put him together with that purpose in mind. Everything that Jeremiah would need to fulfill the plan of God, God had placed inside him as He put him together in his mother's womb. When God commissioned Jeremiah for this purpose, Jeremiah argued with God that he could not speak because he was only a youth. See Jeremiah 1:6. However, God remained unimpressed with the protest, knowing that what He had placed inside of Jeremiah was more than sufficient to accomplish all He had for him to do. Psalm 139:13-16 declares that God also created you as you were being formed in your mother's womb. He wrote all of your days in a book. He took as much care weaving your body, your gifts, your personality, and every part of you together as He did in knitting Jeremiah together. Why? It is because, just like Jeremiah, He wants to establish you as a gift to the world. Jeremiah's purpose was to speak on God's behalf to the nations. God had given Jeremiah what he needed to live out this purpose. You might not be a prophet to the nations, but you have a unique purpose. Clues to that purpose are found in your dreams. God uniquely put you together, giving you all you need to become the person He wrote about in His book before you were born. The question is, will you choose to believe you are who He says you are? When you live from the reality of being made with a purpose, you will not be satisfied with living a mediocre life. You'll be drawn to discover the person God made you to become and the life He made you to lead. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Each one of us is God's workmanship, designed and put together by the master craftsman for a unique purpose. Each one of us is specifically designed to be a vital part of the body, so that together we can grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body. Ephesians 4:15-16. The body needs you to fully be you in order to function at its best. 1 Corinthians 12 talks extensively about this concept. It details how each part is essential for the whole body to function as it was designed. If you have ever had a sore throat, you know that having even a small part of you in pain can unsettle the whole body. Each of us has been designed to play a vital role in the transformation of planet Earth. Each of us has a part to play in displaying who God is through our expression of Him. Whether you are called to be an ear or an eye, or something less visible, you are important in the body. We need you to be fully you, functioning as you were made to function. The cells that make up an eye and those that make up an ear are very different. A cell made to see is going to have a hard time hearing and will never be as effective as an ear cell in performing that function. Eye cells will perform at their best where they have been designed to function, in the eye. In the natural world, we understand this concept easily. We all value our heart as an essential part of our bodies, despite not seeing it at work. We do not devalue it because it's invisible, but neither do we try to convert other parts of our body to become the heart. We recognize that each part of our physical body plays a role in our overall well-being. However, when it comes to being part of the body of Christ, we often devalue ourselves because we don't see how or where our part contributes to the whole of the body. Yet, whether visible or unseen, each of us carries a vital part of who God is, representing Him and His kingdom in the earth. Our unique contribution is released as we live out our dreams, as we live out who He designed and purposed us to be. You are significant. You have a purpose. Dream activation exercise. Step 1. Identifying core beliefs. As you read through this section, what thoughts, feelings, or revelations did you notice or become aware of about yourself? What do those feelings tell you about what you believe? It is impossible to truly believe something and not have it evidenced in your life. For example, if you believe that God is good all the time, but expect or accept negative events in your life, then it is likely that your belief is in your mind but not established in your heart. Likewise, if you truly believe nothing is impossible, there will be evidence in your conversation and actions that demonstrate this belief. So when did you last make conscious steps toward doing the impossible? Do any of your dreams rely on an impossible component? Now consider the following in regard to identifying your core beliefs. How does your life display what you say you believe? What would your friends, family, or colleagues say your beliefs are, judging from the way that they experience you? What does your conversation say about what you believe about God and yourself? Remember, your audible dialogue reflects your internal thoughts. You may consider doing this activity with a friend and getting some honest feedback about how the way you speak reflects your beliefs. Step 2. Changing core beliefs. With God, nothing is impossible. The first step to changing core beliefs is to become aware of truth. God is the Spirit of Truth, so the obvious place to access truth is to encounter Him. Transformation starts with a renewal of the mind. Repentance means to return to the right thinking. Take some time to turn your thoughts and attention toward heaven. Invite the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ask Him to reveal to you and lead you in all truth. Now take some time and meditate on each of these core beliefs. God is good all the time. I have a purpose. Nothing is impossible. I am responsible for me. Greatness comes through serving. Ask yourself the following questions into regard to each of these core beliefs. What would the evidence of these core beliefs look like in your life at this time? How would it feel to truly believe each of the above truths? For example, if you believe you have a purpose, you will feel significant regardless of what is happening in your circumstances. Continue to meditate on each truth. Remember that a lie is a counterfeit truth and is best exposed by concentrated exposure to the truth. Step 3. Living out your core beliefs. Information that leads to transformation requires action. Turning a belief into a lived out core value requires that intentional actions be carried out consistently over time. The result will be change that can be experienced by the people around you. Use the following questions as tools to turn your beliefs into intentional actions that you do consistently over time. What will you do differently today to demonstrate your beliefs? Are there declarations you could make daily that strengthen your belief? Which ones will you use? What scriptures could you meditate on? Who can you ask about how your beliefs are being experienced by those around you? Is there someone in your life who will give you feedback and hold you accountable? What other resources can you listen to, read, watch, or use that will strengthen your core beliefs? How can you keep your beliefs in front of your mind throughout the day until they are lived out? We encourage you to take at least one of the above questions and turn it into a daily intentional action. Do this purposefully for 21 days to build a new habit. This will in turn reinforce your belief until it becomes a lived out core value, a foundation for building a lifestyle that results in dreams consistently being realized. You've been listening to this session around beliefs to build a dream on. We've covered off two of those beliefs, and in the next session we'll cover off three more, which is going to be so good. I just, even reading through this myself again, I'm just convicted by getting back to the basics. God is good all the time. What am I truly living and believing in that regard? And I just know that you're going to do the same. So if you want to get a copy of the entire book, you can see the link in the show notes below. It's on Amazon. The activation itself and what I just read out is also there. You can download, apply that, do this with a friend. But I just encourage you is go deep, because when we get in touch with what's really going on and deal with the beliefs, we set ourselves up to succeed, period. Hey, have a great week.